The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody. It is February 3rd. We are so glad that you are here. As you head out, the skies are clear. It is still cold. It may not be as safe and hunky-dory as you think. Yesterday afternoon, slush started to turn to water, started to evaporate, but then a lot of stuff refroze overnight, making this morning another hazardous morning. And if you're out and about and have the opportunity to look skyward, make sure there are no Chinese spy balloons overhead, because that's what they have in Montana. One of the many things we will talk about today, but you know the first thing that we need to come face-to-face with, the first thing we need to confront, and it's a joy to do so. Ready? It's Friday.
Ah, I feel good. I feel good. Ow! I feel good.
I feel good.
I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good.
I would not. So good. So good. I got you.
Oh, Mark, really?
You're as cold as ice.
Oh, this is the lowest of low-hanging fruit. Come on, man, a dog could have put this intro together. Cold as ice, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, but you know,
you never take advice.
Bottom line, Lou Gramm and Foreigner are awesome. Ice is front of mind today, and a lot of people thought that it would not be. See, here's the deal. So yesterday, we get temperatures that come up and begin to flirt with 32, 33, even 34, get out the cargo shorts, and things started to melt. Ice turned to slush, slush turned to water, and then water, as it will tend to do, began to evaporate, and a lot of the roads were flat out dry. But then a little bit of precip yesterday, not much, but then the stuff that was already there totally refroze overnight, as will happen. And so this morning is just bad in a whole lot of places. Dallas ISD said that they were going to go 2 hours late, and then just a few moments ago said, nah, all other things being equal, nope, we are closed. So check your local school districts. Many that might have said last night that we're going 2 hours late might have thought better of that. And it's kind of funny. I lived for this when I was a kid, but I'm a kid up in the Maryland suburbs. And a snow day was a snow day. You know, we didn't really get a week-long ice storm nonsense like this. It was actual snow. You could get out and play in it and make snowmen, and you actually left the house. I mean, I'm sure the kids have been thrilled having much of the week off of school, but isn't everybody going a little bit stir-crazy? And here's the thing. I think a lot of people were. Cabin fever has resulted in a lot of people, and obviously they have jobs, so good for them for getting out. But so you have a bit of a tricky combination this morning of still absolutely hazardous roadways, bridges, overpasses, even some stretches of surface streets. Is it better than yesterday? In some places, yes, but in some places it's not, and there's a lot more traffic this morning. I mean, a lot more, and we'll keep you up to date on with all the traffic situations, and the weather situation is really pretty simple in that we're flirting with, 32 virtually everywhere, but it'll be in the 40s before lunchtime. So that's kind of cool. And then things truly will melt. And then, of course, being Texas, hang on, let me see if this is still correct. Yeah, Sunday, nearly 70. Texas winter. And it's truly, if you don't like the weather in Texas, wait a minute. So you don't need to wait a minute to get here for today's topical lineup. We'll talk to our buddy Mike Gallagher, 735. We always have things to run by him and he with us. And we'll get ourselves all torqued off about the Chinese spy balloon. China has first of all, if you're just thinking, what even is this? Let me just unfold this before you gradually. Yesterday, during the day, over Montana, people noticed some little white dot in the sky over Billings. Like, what's that? And eventually we had a Pentagon briefing in which, here we go, Brigadier General Pat Ryder, quote, "The United States government has detected and is tracking a high-altitude surveillance balloon that is over the continental United States right now." Really? Let's offer you the rest of General Ryder's comments, and then I have a question. Bet you do, too. "The U.S. government, including NORAD, continues to track and monitor it closely. The balloon is currently traveling at an altitude well above commercial air traffic and does not present," "does not present a military or physical threat to people on the ground. Instances of this kind of balloon activity have been observed previously over the past several years. Once the balloon was detected, the U.S. government acted immediately to protect against the collection of sensitive information." Really? Did we? Good. Good, good, good. First of all, I'm just going to make a blanket observation here. These are not my father's military leaders. My dad was career Air Force 1949 to 69. I know Vietnam's in there. You can have your word or two about military leadership in that regard. I get it. I understand. But that was bad decision-making at the political level. Military did what it was asked. The military the motivation has always been to win wars. But nowadays, we're more concerned about, you know, providing transgender care than we are providing a military that wins wars. The military has gone woke. The military has gone weak. Our current strain of military leaders is filled with jelly-spined, activist-leaning shadows of the former men who used to lead us. It's just bad. It's just very, very bad. And here's chapter, 733 of that, because the headlines as they unfolded yesterday said that military leaders, military advisors, had decided against shooting this balloon down, which, by the way, that is the question I have. Why is that thing still flying? And instantly social media jumped to say, "I bet Trump would have shot it down." I would edit that somewhat. If Trump were president, that thing wouldn't be there in the first place. And the notion of America scrambling to cover up whatever silos and nuclear facilities and whatever, we tend to have them strewn across sparsely populated places like Montana and Idaho, North Dakota, et cetera, et cetera. And the excuse was, we don't want to shoot it down because there could be a potential hazard to people below. Really? It's Montana. What do you have, one person per 12 square miles? Okay, Billings, Bozeman, you have some towns. Sparse, unpopulated territory is always moments away if you've got a balloon hovering somewhere. The Biden administration did not want to anger China. Again, in our faces, the fecklessness, the spinelessness, the rudderlessness of the Biden White House on the world stage. This thing should have been blown out of the sky yesterday. The notion of, and I love this quote, "Once the balloon was detected, The U.S. government acted immediately to protect against the collection of sensitive information. What do we do? Cover up all the silos? Drag a big tarp over stuff? What we should have done to protect against the collection of sensitive information is blown that communist Chinese balloon to smithereens. That's what we should have done. So the latest this morning, overnight, the Chinese have commented. Mm-hmm. China has announced its government is looking into reports that a suspected Chinese spy balloon was discovered flying in U.S. airspace. Let's see, Foreign Ministry spokesman Mao Ning. China is a responsible country and has always strictly abided by international laws, and China has no intention to violate the territory and airspace of any sovereign countries. Really? She urged U.S. officials and Chinese authorities to proceed calmly and carefully amid the investigation. Well, all about being calm and careful. We should calmly and carefully launch the missiles to blow that thing out of the sky. Finishing up her quote, as for the balloon, as I've mentioned just now, we are looking into and verifying the situation, and I hope that both sides can handle this together, as she said, calmly and carefully. Foreign Minister in China said judgment should be withheld, quote, before we have a clear understanding of the facts. You know, clear enough, there's a thing up there. And it's Chinese, and it's a spy balloon. And it should not have lasted the day. Your thoughts, 866-660-5759, 866-660-5759. Ilhan Omar is no longer on the House Foreign Relations Committee. you know, and I'm sorry. I love it. I just absolutely love it. The comeuppance, the reckoning for Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell, Ilhan Omar. The Republicans in charge of the House, and once again, thank you, thank you, thank you. Leadership of Kevin McCarthy. Speak of the Speaker McCarthy era continues to have another notch in its belt of greatness. This time, a woman who has equated the American military to Hamas and the Taliban is no longer on a key House military-related committee. A confirmed anti-Semite. Trafficking in anti-Semitic tropes about all about the Benjamins, Jews with money, that Israel has hypnotized the world. And this woman who has like a political science degree from some college or another said, oh, I wasn't even aware. I wasn't aware of those anti-Semitic tropes. Listen, then not only are you an anti-Semite, you're also an idiot. Thank God she's gone. And so, again, just off this one committee, she can be on other committees. She's still in Congress for as long as those Minnesota voters decide to put her there. But it's just key committees, just like Swalwell and Schiff are no longer on House Intelligence because they're in Swalwell's case, compromised. And in both their cases, lying jackals. This is accountability. This is a reckoning. This is awesome. And oh my goodness, the screaming and the crying from AOC and Cori Bush and Rashida Tlaib. Oh, it must be racism, must be racism. Nice try, ladies, nice try. A white man with the exact same poisonous views would have been shown the door just as summarily. Oh, goodness gracious me. Interesting times as the week comes to a close. And as it does, let us begin our broadcast day in the proper way. Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of each new day in this new year. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge, so lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America, where our Constitution is honored, our schools are safe, our elections are reliable, our borders work, where we protect the unborn, and fight for the meaning and the intent of the two genders you created, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything, and we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. While you're in... Well, with God on your mind, we are underway with our Food for the Poor campaign, off to a great start, and thank you, thank you, thank you. Go to 660amtheanswer.com, click the banner at the top, $144, feeds four children for a year in the starving hinterlands of Nicaragua and Honduras. We're doing something. We're doing what we are called to do, and we thank you. And you may not have $144. There's a customized giving button, and just, you know, go right ahead, and $20, we'll take it. We're so, so very, very grateful. Or you can text Davis to 91999. Text Davis to 91999. Send you a donation link. It doesn't just grab your money. It just says, oh, here you go. What do you want to do? And then you do what you want to do. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's wrap up the week with something that we are called to do, helping the least among us, feeding these starving kids. And we thank you so much. Go to 660amtheanswer.com. Click the banner at the top. Do what you can. Thank you. Thank you. Or text Davis to 91999. All righty, 722. When we come back, our reporter of the day out on the streets, because we ain't out of the woods yet. 722. On today's broadcast adventure, take me with you. Little Prince on a Friday. It's in your eyes. 866-660-5759 on the streets of Frisco this morning. Channel 5, Ben Russell.
The concern is not only about the ice that's on the roads, but also if we look up the ice that's in the trees. It may be pretty to look at, but the results can be ugly. And we've seen that play out over the last couple days. Yesterday in particular, not only here in the city of Frisco, but really all across North Texas. We saw it throughout the day yesterday with Encore and other power crews out working to restore electricity in several locations and repair down lines and poles taken down by frozen limbs becoming too heavy, snapping off and dropping onto the lines. We expect to see some version of the exact same thing again today. Within the last hour, we spoke live with a representative from Encore who talked about their big challenge.
Well, the biggest hurdle we've had the last couple of days is just the road conditions,
yeah.
Particularly in rural areas. I mean, the roads are just not great. And with the refreezing last night, it's going to make it a little tougher for a few hours this morning. But we expect to make considerable progress today.
And we can tell you back live again this morning, they are making progress with respect to getting the power back on. A few hours ago, the number of customers in Encore's service area without power stood at around 81,000. Within the last hour, this dropped to about 70-something thousand. So the lights are coming back on. And when all that is gone, it'll make it even easier.
Yes, it is. So this morning, again, remains hazardous, but this whole drama comes to an end midday today, and then we're up in the 60s by the end of the weekend. All righty, it's time to hop into the newsroom with Gordon Griffin, our visit with Mike Gallagher. Speaking of visiting with Mike, before we even start talking, I want you to know that if you are primed, as we are, for the spectacle that is the M&M Experience, our segment with Mike, Mike is going to roll into town and join us in April for an evening live in front of your face at the Palace Arts Center in Grapevine. Folks are scarfing up tickets to that, so get in there. There's a VIP option if you want to hang with us backstage. We got food, we got picture line, we got all the cool stuff, or there are a couple of levels of ticket price to get into the theater, Lancaster Theater, Main Street, Grapevine. An evening with Mark and Mike live right there for you on April 18th. Get your tickets now at 660amtheanswer.com, 660amtheanswer.com. Speaking of Mike, he joins us right after the news. Here's Gordon. Mark Davis, 7:30. I don't think we've ever discussed this.
Chances are we have not.
That's funny because
to the left.
I don't know whether this is your wheelhouse or totally.
Oh,
God.
But, okay, you had to ask? You had to ask?
Because it is after. Well, here's the thing. Time Warp from Rocky Horror, I'm guessing more so because it did make its way to Broadway, right?
Yeah, they did a Broadway version of it. Dick Cavett was the narrator, believe it or not. Can you believe that?
Whoa! Because my familiarity was of the film as it was released in 75, as I was just beginning my college years, Tim Curry. Yep. And one of the first things that Susan Sarandon was in a noteworthy way, she was Janet. And I went once, and I thought it was to a midnight show in College Park along University Boulevard. And I thought it was just the stupidest thing I'd ever seen.
And it is pretty stupid.
It's ridiculous.
There's no question.
And then I went again with everybody dressed up, throwing toast and toilet paper from the queues.
Yep,
and then it was kind of fun. I say this not to recommend it, but I found that it was a lot easier to take with a moderate blood alcohol level. And it was, and then I wondered with Time Warp in my head, there's Magenta and the crew with Time Warp. So when this got to Broadway, was it good?
Yeah, well, it was all right. It's campy, and like you said, it's stupid. It's fun, but it was in the theater in the round, and I just remember Dick Cavett. He was the narrator.
Who
was
who is Frankenfurter? Who was the Tim Curry?
It was I'm drawing a blank. Tom Hewitt. He was great. Tom Hewitt, a Broadway actor. Anyway, all right. Well, listen how goofy I am, though, on musicals and stuff like that. I'm leaving 81 degree temperatures here in Tampa Bay. To go to Washington, D.C. to see a production of Sunset Boulevard, which is one of my favorite works by Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Tremendous. Where will it be?
And there,
Kennedy
it's
Center?
At the Kennedy Center. Yep.
Wow,
yep. I've got a friend who's in it, actually, and so I'm going to fly in tomorrow.
Whoa.
And then
but
just
isn't okay. I know Boston is shut down because it's going to be 30 below or something.
It's going to be brutal.
Even further south, closer to the Mason-Dixon line, even middle Atlantic states are going to get blasted by winter.
But just cold weather, though. No snow or sleet or anything. It's just going to be frigid.
Do you know what they're talking about in like Maine? Or Quebec or anything like that. I mean, we're talking like 25 below. And I don't mean wind chill. I mean
the actual
ambient
temperature. I know. All right, let's heat things up a little bit. Because, people love the M&M experience as much as when we agree. Sometimes even better when we disagree. Let's talk about this spy balloon, this mm-hmm. Chinese spy balloon. Let's get into this, General Custer. You want to go blowing it out of the sky, do you?
Today,
oh, really?
Today, if not yesterday.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, really. Okay, what about TikTok? What about you? Really? I mean, now you want to go to war with China over a spy balloon? Are you serious? I mean, I love this. Tucker did this too last night. I love you and I love Tucker. I'm thinking all these neocons want to go to war with China, and you're not a neocon, by the way.
Actual cons. Well, not to be conservative.
Cons with the capital C.
Right.
But do you know China as now may have surpassed us in the number of nuclear warheads? That they have. They have do you ever stop to think what that conversation looks like with your precious Ethan when the day comes that he's drafted because we're in World War III with China and Ethan says, Dad, why am I being drafted again? Yeah. Well, son, we didn't like that spy balloon over Billings, Montana.
Are you
kidding?
So what are we supposed to allow the Chinese to do to avoid cowering in fear of angering them?
Well, let's start with TikTok, because as I understand it, big tech looks the other way and the country doesn't care about one of the most intrusive spy machines they have. Mm-hmm. And millions of Americans stupidly engage in it and they're sharing and they're giving all kinds of personal data to China. General Patton, how about us spying? Do you think we spy on anybody? Come on. Spying is an international construct. We all do it. And this idea that we're going to blow it out of the sky, provoke China. You know what?
Oh
I'm with
gosh.
You. And listen. Let me finish this. I don't like not wanting to provoke China.
Yeah.
But guess what? We shouldn't want to provoke China. Because they are a nuclear power,
Mark. So I'll ask again, what are the things? So if we just let their spy balloon go, and you know what? If we had a spy balloon over Shanghai and they torpedoed that thing, I'd go, got caught. Too bad, so sad. Wouldn't kill me.
Right.
Because we do all do that. And if you get caught, maybe sometimes you get a surveillance thing blown out of the sky. So if we're not supposed to blow the Chinese spy balloon out of the sky because we might make President Xi mad, what are we supposed to tolerate to avoid, again, cowering under the bed in fear of a war exchange with China?
It's a somewhat rhetorical question, but let me answer that with a somewhat rhetorical question back. Mm-hmm. You mock making Xi mad. Mm-hmm. Do you want to go to war with China?
I do not.
All right. Well, then guess what? Knock it off. then we shouldn't provoke
him. I don't think blowing their spy balloon out of the sky results in World War III by Valentine's Day.
Listen, here's what I'd say, and I'll qualify this. We banned TikTok, now we have a conversation. If we really are serious about China spying on us, mm-hmm. we'd get serious about something like TikTok.
I'm totally with you on TikTok.
Yep.
I would love for you to open up the Mike Gallagher text line and see. My side is blow that damn thing out of the sky.
Of course.
Yours is, don't do that. We might give
it's
the
low-hanging fruit.
Let's see.
It's real easy to say, let's blow it out of the sky.
Let's see.
And then in 6 months, who wins the day in a nuclear war with China? Is that what you mean?
No, who wins the debate today that you're going to put on the bottom of the Mike Gallagher Show text line of do you blow it out of the sky or not?
Let's qualify that with 800-655-MIKE. 800-655-MIKE, and let's qualify that with part two. Do you want to go to war with China?
No, you can't say no to that. I absolutely am.
That's my concern.
Not because I'm guaranteeing that we wouldn't. I'm not giving that the back of my hand. I'm saying with all the attendant concerns that maybe we blow it out of the sky and nothing happens, or maybe we blow it out of the sky and they nuke Los Angeles. Any one of a number of things is possible. With all those things in our heads as a possibility, do we or do we not blow their spy balloon out of the sky? Just leave it a clean question. Do we blow it out of the sky?
But let's continue this discussion for a minute, because I need to ask you person to person, man to man, is a spy balloon over Billings, Montana worth going to war with China over? Yes or no?
I don't. I think it's a false premise. I don't believe.
Why?
Because I don't think that starts a war with China.
Okay.
I just don't.
Must know Xi better than I do.
It's funny because Russia has nukes, and you know, of course, we got the whole Ukraine thing going, and a ton of people who do analysis for a living, which, you know, that's on your business card, it means nothing, but a lot of supposedly smart people have said that we're in a proxy war with Russia right now, and if we did all kinds of things to provoke Putin, it's like, oh, but he could go nuclear. And a lot of people are saying, no, he's not going to go nuclear because he knows what the consequences would be. I think President Xi knows what the consequences would be of having an actual bellicose, warlike response to us blowing a spy satellite out over the Montana skies.
I'd love to see. Honestly, the specific and incidentally, the text message overwhelmingly on your side. Blow it out of the sky. Let's go. Let's blow. And guess what? It is our airspace. I get it. And reasonably, it's a reasonable reaction. We're not going to, incidentally. P.S. We're not going to do that anymore. Then we're going to ban TikTok. We're dreaming.
Exactly.
We're not going to blow it out of the sky. Here's a smart text messenger that says, capture it. Retrieve it. You want to play that game? We've got the technology, I'll bet, to get it.
Why don't we get it and study it? Would President Xi be upset if we did that too?
Oh, let's go. Hey, Ethan, get your uniform pressed because we're going off to war with China. Hey,
my 24-year-old son in 4 years saying, Dad, you should have listened to Uncle Mike. They're sending me to Beijing.
Uncle Mike was right, Dad. I told you we should not blow that weather balloon or that spy balloon out of the sky.
Why didn't you listen to him?
See, he should have all those years ago. And guess what? China doesn't want to go to war with us either, and I know that and I understand that, although you got Joe Biden at the helm. I love what you said earlier. This wouldn't even be an issue if Trump were in the White House.
Yep, that was my favorite. One of my favorite. The tweet number one was Trump would have blown it out of the sky, and tweet number two was moot point. They wouldn't put it in the skies over America if Trump were president.
Exactly. Bingo. Meanwhile, how much do you love AOC railing about Ilhan Omar being kicked off the committee and saying it's all about targeting women of color?
Yep.
Gosh, it's so lazy. What a lazy, spineless defense.
When you
got nothing else, it's all you got. Well, it must be because she's a woman of color. No, it's because she's an anti-Semite.
Yes.
And an anti-Semite doesn't exactly belong on the, Foreign Relations Committee.
Correct.
Might be a bad fit. Oh, my gosh. It's hysterical. And the media doesn't know how to spin this. Well, what about? And incidentally, did you notice the other day that goofy, what's his name, out of New York? What's the guy's name that's lying about everything?
George Santos.
Santos, he resigned from all his committee posts.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, that was after a meeting with Kevin McCarthy.
Yes.
You can connect those dots, right? You're right about Kevin McCarthy and another notch in his belt, and I guarantee you. You want to know how this conversation went?
Yeah.
It was, son, we're about to strip Ilhan Omar from her committee chairmanship. You're going to step down because you ain't going to embarrass us. Because that's the first thing they throw back is, why is that lunatic on all these committees?
Can I throw you a flaming hot George Santos take?
Mm-hmm.
Two things are true at the same time. Number one, the lying was bad. It was really bad. What a weasel. What a deceptive weasel.
What a bad guy. He's a bad guy.
Since taking office, last couple of weeks, might be one of my favorite congressmen. And I'm half kidding, but only half. The tweets, the takes, the meat grinder that he's going through, and he put himself through it with his own duplicity. It has given him I'm going to say stuff. I don't care what people think. It's almost, almost Trump-like, or let's not go nuts. But, I mean, he may be in this very purple district on Long Island. He may be one of the sort of the edgy, nervy, ballsy, guys out there with hot takes. He's just follow. Look at that Twitter feed over the last few days. The guy is great. And I've said from the beginning that the lying was bad. Only one group of people deserves to hold his fate in their hands, and that's the voters of his district. The primaries are a year and a fraction away. By that time, he may have ingratiated himself to them to such a degree that their memories are short.
That's a great argument, and I'm really conflicted on this as well, because I know what the Democrats would be doing. They'd be saying, hey, go pound Saul. We're not getting rid of anybody. They'd be unified behind a Democrat who did this.
It's hilarious to hear Democrats go off on George Santos. Boy, I guess some lies are okay and some are not.
Strange. Richard Blumenthal, anyone?
Joe Biden, anyone?
You lie about... I would argue that lying about your college degree is a lot less severe than stolen valor, than lying about serving your country in Vietnam. Like every time I see Blumenthal, my skin crawls. Every time I see, and he really is a prime example and the perfect counter to anything that Santos has said. I mean, he lied about stupid stuff. I mean, my gosh,
resume stuff.
He lie about being everything, about being married or straight or gay or
my parents were in the Holocaust. Your parents were in
Brazil.
My
mother was jumped out of the tower of the 9/11. I mean, give me a break. Let's lighten the mood on a Friday for just a moment. I know you're thawing out, and I'm going into the tundra like a dummy in D.C. this weekend. I'm sure you and Lisa are big Netflix purveyors, right?
Absolutely, sure.
Have you seen the big drama involving Netflix? Netflix is about to crack down on password sharing. Now, I've always been fascinated by this. My kids, who are spread out all over the country, they're all obviously grown and gone.
Right.
They're always asking the old man for the password for Disney Plus or for Netflix or whatever it is they want to watch.
So they can glom onto your account at their respective homes.
Of course. They don't have to pay for it. Like everything else, Dad's the ATM,
Is that okay to do that? Is that a crime?
That's the thing. I mean, think about it, though. If you're a business and you sell a subscription service...
Yep.
And you got to have a password. I could share the password on air. Millions of people could have my Netflix password. Why not?
If you do that, the listenership will forgive you being soft on China.
Thank you. I hope so. For me, having a momentary lapse, I'd be forgiven. But isn't it interesting? So now Netflix is apparently going to change.
What do they do?
They're going to make you change your password every 30 days. Now, that'll be a pain in the neck.
Well, listen, how many human beings are you sharing it with? You know, four?
And my deadbeat kids, they'll change it every day if they get a free one.
Every 30 days.
They won't mind. They'll change it hourly.
It's the one reason you'll hear from them on a monthly basis.
No kidding. I'd finally get to, maybe I get a Christmas card or something, or a birthday gift. You know, hey, Dad, I'll get you a birthday gift. You give me the Netflix password. I just think that's kind of interesting. But password sharing, it's another great example. And finally, you shared a note. I hate giving non-sponsors plugs. There's businesses in my life that I love, like the stupid shoes I love.
Yep.
I've fallen in love with these Allbirds. Have I told you about my Allbird shoes?
How do you spell that so I can Google that and spend some money?
Oh, you'll be hooked.
Allbird, like
Allbirds. Allbirds.
Okay.
They're not a sponsor, and they're probably, I suspect, they're probably lefties. Because they're like it.
Yeah.
But the shoes are the most comfortable shoes you'll never take them off.
Okay,
I'm telling you,
these
shoes.
Don't bog down. Go to the store.
All right. Spoonful of Comfort.
Yep.
Another example. A company I heard about from a colleague, a radio colleague, and I've been sending stuff out. They ought to be a sponsor because you had a personal story. You got a text from somebody who shared a story about how great their customer service is.
Mm-hmm. A lady had a coworker, and her coworker had a real serious, had a son with a big old health crisis. He was in the hospital, but he wound up coming out of the hospital the day the thing was delivered to the hospital. So they called and said, can we track it? Can we take it from the hospital to the house? Spoonful of Comfort said, don't worry, we'll just send another one to the house.
Isn't that amazing? And they awesome. Are like, oh, they do, and they're really good about shipping stuff. Maybe one of these days we'll get them to be an advertiser. And let me end on a sad note, a powerful note. You talk about a colleague. Mm-hmm. We have a colleague, I'm not going to get into too many details because I want to respect their privacy, but they lost their daughter unexpectedly, mother of, he's a grandparent. They have three young children. She died unexpectedly the other day. 2 days after she died, her husband, these are young people, falls, hits his head, he dies. Three children are now orphaned. They lost their young parents within the span of a couple of days. So let's lift them up in prayer. You pray every day on your show. No matter how bad your day is, think about what that family is going
cherish
through. Can you
every
imagine?
Day. Every
just cherish every day. Cherish your friendships like mine with you and our loved ones, our family. Hold them tight and pray for this family because just unimaginable. I mean, she dies, and then a couple days later, he falls, hits his head on the coffee table, and now they don't have a mom or a dad, and now they're trying to figure out how these – and these are young kids, seven years old, nine. What an awful – and this is what people go through. This is stuff that is real, and I just want to take a moment to lift them up, Mark,
properly
and hope for
so.
God's comfort
properly,
and
properly
healing
so.
Because, boy, they're going to need it. So happy Friday.
Good Friday to you.
Report
a good weekend. Safe travel. So will you back? Will you be back in Florida by Monday thawing out?
I will be running back and by the pool, hopefully Monday as soon as I can get by.
He's by the pool, everyone.
Sipping a virgin margarita.
Right. Thank you,
and
Mike.
That's not code. Goodbye.
No, it's not. It is the Mike Gallagher Show, and he's there for us as soon as we're done at 10 today on 660 AM The Answer. Remastering technology is just crazy. Some of those swing and big band stuff that I love, they've gone back to like the original, you know, Thomas Edison wax cylinders, whatever they were recording that stuff on. This is Artie Shaw and the Orchestra in Deep in a Dream from 1938. Ain't that great? We'll let Artie and the Orchestra take us out and into the 8 o'clock hour. Got news at the top here from the SRN folks and Gordon Griffin, and then well, we'll plow forward into this Chinese spy balloon thing. I think I'm winning. But listen, it ain't about me. It's about America winning and whether we should tolerate Chinese surveillance or TikTok, for that matter. Whatever you want to do. So maybe a little China on the topical griddle, as well as various other things of this Friday morning. Glad you're here. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.